This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome into the show. Happy Wednesday. Thanks for being with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. You have heard, I'm sure, at this point, at 8:30 this morning, there was a phone call made, a 911 call made in Minneapolis, and there has been another school shooting. You've heard a lot of the updates so far. We've been covering it here on 97.1 as the details come in. Anything new that is reported throughout the course of the day, we will bring to you. As of right now, we do know that two children have been shot. They were, it was a Catholic school in Minneapolis. The children were gathered at Mass. The reports are suggesting or saying that Mass is held in the morning. It was the first Mass of the school year. This week is the first, this was when school started at this Catholic school. And Mass on Wednesdays brings the families in so parents and other worshipers can come in and participate in that Mass. And so the church had adults, it had children in it, and an armed gunman fired into the church from the outside. Lots of reports on how many bullets were fired, but it was enough to kill two children. And there are other children in critical condition right now who are being tended to. And yes, our utmost prayers are with these families, are with these children, are with these individuals who are still fighting for recovery. And I just want you to know that if you've tuned in today and you want to know the latest, anytime there is a development, we will bring it to you. But there's a way to handle these situations and there's a way not to handle these situations. For me, it is a very difficult thing to discuss as a mother with kids in school, as a wife with a husband in school. These things are very difficult for anyone to consume. And I want to respect the news of the day and make sure that we do update you as anything develops. The shooter, I should also say, took his own life. I will echo Trey Gowdy's words on Outnumbered a little bit earlier. I wish he would have done that before today. That's what Trey Gowdy said. And I thought, I feel the same way. Is there anything else I would give you an opportunity to speak on it? I don't want to dwell on it because I don't know what dwelling does at this point.
Well, I told Brad this morning that this is the news of the day. It's a headline that we're going to see today and, you know, for the next few days. And if you know anybody in Minneapolis, you're probably texting them and ask them how they're doing and everything, where they're at. But the one that when you saw it, you said, oh, my gosh, that the two kids that were praying, they were shot while praying. That's something you don't forget.
Well, they were in church. They were in at a Mass, like a beginning of the school day Mass. And so, you know, being in worship as a Christian, if they were praying to a Jesus that they know and that they love, but more importantly that knew them and loves them, they're with him. So it's a tough thing to discuss. and it is an important thing to report on. But I we'll bring you the details. We'll bring you all the details as they are released, the ones that we need to get to your attention. So you will be plugged into the story here, but we aren't going to spend the entire day dwelling on it. It often diverts into political spin, and folks, people are still in the hospital. So my understanding, talking to many of you when things like this happen, you're kind of the same mind. This isn't going to be a political fodder for me. And I'm sorry if that was what you're coming here for. It's just not what we're going to do. The YouTube poll for today, though, should trained armed security be present in all schools, yes or no? I think that most public schools, if they have the means to do so within the districts, often have resource officers. People I talk to love their resource officers. It's like the first person you want to get to know in your district, in your building. And, you know, this is the second Christian school we've seen be keyed in on here recently. And as you know, those schools are not funded in the same way. These are soft targets. Churches are soft targets. Lots to discuss based on, you know, I heard one question at the press conference with the police. Do we know if he legally obtained these weapons? And they don't know that. They don't know any of these things. That's why dwelling on those discussions, the people who want to have a knee-jerk reaction to a moment like this, they knew what they would say in this moment before the moment actually happened. So if the details don't matter, then why would we discuss them? I think they matter. Not simple to just shift into the news of the day, but we're going to do that as we keep our eyes and our ears on the developments coming out of Minneapolis. Yesterday's cabinet meeting, did you know the thing went basically our entire show?
I'm not surprised, but no, I didn't know how late it went.
It was over a three-hour meeting.
Didn't start before our show, too?
It was supposed to start earlier, but I think it ended up starting at around 11:15. And he spoke, President Trump spoke himself until, I believe it was about 11:58. It was like, oh, he's stopping speaking just in time for the show. And then normally what they'll do is they'll go around the room, and it's a cabinet meeting, so you'd like to hear from the members of the cabinet at a cabinet meeting, not just the president. Of course, you always want to hear from the president. But the cabinet meeting kind of began. He like gave the preamble to the cabinet meeting for 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. And then they went around the room and allowed the other cabinet members to speak, to give their reports. And it went 3 hours. At one point, President Trump looked at the guy who was holding the boom mic. And he goes, you've been doing that for 3 hours. Aren't your arms tired? And I just thought, isn't everybody tired? It's a three-hour meeting.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me that it went that long, because the trickle last night coming out of it of clips was widely varied. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot coming out of that.
What do you mean varied?
Well,
In content,
because it's everybody spoke, and, yeah, and there were so many different topics, and it was so long that everybody's looking for clips, but it took a long time to get clips because the meeting was so long. What?
I thought you were getting nothing. I thought you were going to say something. I appreciate that they do these things. I wish they would have covered it more, but I don't know how like Fox is supposed to cover a 3-hour meeting. Like, it's just like your entire afternoon.
Like us. Like, we're not going to do the whole show on the meeting.
No, but paying attention to what a lot of these different cabinet members are focusing on, like, we often are looking into all the wins that President Trump has had so far. And it's like, gosh, how does he do it? And then you have a 3-hour cabinet meeting where you have assembled the Avengers of common sense and constitutionality. And you say to yourself, oh, well, it's not just Donald Trump doing that. When you're surrounded by good people, look how much you can get done. Contrast that to Donald Trump's first term, when like the John Boltons of the room in his first cabinet meetings would have been intentionally there to sabotage him, among many, many other people. Even the relationship that the president has with the media is, there's a rhythm to it now. There's a give and a take, and sometimes he throws lobs out at some of the people who ask him questions. So it's not like you're safe necessarily. But I feel as though he enters the conversation with some level of mutual respect. Like, listen, I know if I'm speaking as President Trump, I'm here and I'm going to help you guys write stories, print magazines or papers or write articles, get clicks. I know that. But he also seems to have an understanding that they are also there in a way that not helps him, like is colluding with him, but they are the ones who get his story out. Somebody writes an article about something, it gets put out. Whether people agree with it or disagree with it, you get the message out. There seems to be a healthier relationship that exists between those two entities more than certainly has in the past. And it almost feels like we have entered into a place where Donald Trump is functioning as a normal president in a more normal environment for the first time since we've known Donald Trump to be in politics. Remember at the very beginning when he was coming in, they all loved him. They all got a kick out of him. I think most of the people, especially the agenda-driven leftist media, felt very much so like they wanted him to get in it because he was making a mockery of the Republican Party. Like, check out this guy. The Republican Party, you're not even allowed to have your tie be crooked in the Republican Party. And you've got Donald Trump coming in here who doesn't ascribe to any of the moral certitude of the grand old party. He's going to bust this whole thing wide open. If he gets anywhere, any distance in this primary process, it's going to decimate what everybody understands Republicans to be. So they're like, go do it. Sounds great. But then he started to get a little more serious and people on the right side of the aisle were like, we don't like the stuffy guys either. We're not interested in that either. Republicans didn't like people going into government and acting as if they were better than the Republicans that sent them there because they just know better. And big government, if it's Republican, is fine. And you're like, no, you're not a good Republican. You're a bad Republican, and you're doing the same crap that we don't want the left to be doing. We need somebody who's different. And Donald Trump's like, hold my beer. Root beer. He doesn't drink.
Right. Root beer. We all knew you meant root beer, though.
Isn't it funny that he doesn't drink? Isn't it funny that he doesn't, like, smoke? He doesn't do any of those things.
Yeah, he seems like the ultimate have-a-beer president.
His Donald Trump's vice, I guess, is fame in women, but will you please point me to the corner of Washington, D.C. where that's not traditionally welcomed?
Thank you.
Like, it's the hypocrisy of suggesting that somehow Donald Trump, like, I'm really sick and freaking tired of the, like, assertion that as a Christian, I'm not able to appreciate Donald Trump for what he's doing for this country. And we touched on it a little bit. Was it last week when he said on Fox and Friends or something that he hopes he can save thousands of lives from dying in war because he thinks it'll help him get into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
There's something about him. There's an itch that he has. I would refer to it as the Holy Spirit, but that's just me, that makes him think these thoughts, which it's good to be thinking those thoughts. If you're not even considering it, that's fine. I'll reiterate to what I said last week. You got Jesus. The ticket is punched. Your deeds will not qualify you. That's all I have to say about that for now. But the suggestion that somehow or another, oh, Annie, you're a Christian and you support Donald Trump. He's a sinner. And I'm like, well, hi. Here I am, also a sinner. You're going to hear a lot of people today criticize thoughts and prayers. And I will criticize thoughts and prayers, too. Just drop the thoughts. Fall on your knees and pray. If this didn't happen today in Minneapolis, there'd still be a reason for you to fall on your knees and pray. We get a little bit more than that, and more of that. And, you know, I think to myself, just a little bit to what you said, Ryan, I am the only solace that I can think anyone has, and Trey Gowdy pointed this out too, is that those people have Jesus, but most importantly, that Jesus had those children. When we come back, Greg Jarrett's going to talk to us a little bit about the pursuit to get Trump, how it's going, and whether or not we're going to see some success here in the future on the pushback against these individuals. Greg Jarrett on The Annie Fry Show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Nothing to do with classified documents or about classified intelligence that Bolton printed in his book. Trump Justice Insider Mike Davis says Democrats, rhinos, and reporters who think this raid on John Bolton is about his book will be very embarrassed when the search warrant becomes public. Primetime's hearing Bolton was making a lot of money from overseas and may have been trafficking in intelligence. That wouldn't be putting America first. Constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley, who we just heard from, says Bolton could be looking at up to 20 years in prison. So Bolton should take his own advice and take a big, beautiful, deep breath.
I think it's important that everybody take a deep breath here. This is a very serious matter.
So there you have John Bolton speaking about something that had to do with not with him in 2022. But he's in some trouble here. Maybe it'll all shake out. Maybe time will pass and we'll find out. He's been exonerated, much like Donald Trump has in many of these issues. But for right now, I'm curious. How much trouble does John Bolton think he might be in? Well, we ask our friend Greg Jarrett, who's back with us, is a Fox News legal analyst and, of course, a former defense attorney and law professor and author. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Annie.
It's always good to be with you, Greg. I want to know, I've got this article from thegregjarrett.com, which everybody listening needs to read on the regular. No one is above the law. Does that include Michael Bolton? Is he in real trouble?
John Bolton. I think Michael's okay.
I knew I was going to do that. I almost said that yesterday.
Should have come in with Michael Bolton music.
I got a hot take here on the Annie Fry Show. John Bolton. That's what I do when I'm doing too many things at once. I'm sorry, Greg Jarrett. Let's start that over. Is John Bolton really in some trouble?
Yeah, I think he is. Anytime your home and office are raided simultaneously by the FBI, you got to be worried, right? Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be indicted by a grand jury for crimes, but it's pretty good indication because a federal judge was convinced that there's probable cause to believe that evidence of a crime might be found in, you know, Bolton's home or office, and therefore approved the search warrant. But, you know, look, there are several possibilities here. First of all, keeping classified documents in your home or office is a crime. It's a violation of the Espionage Act and also a different statute, 18 U.S.C. 1924, I believe it is. So, also leaking it to others, either verbally or in writing, that's a felony. So, you know, the FBI was searching for incriminating or corroborating evidence. In other words, hard copies of classified documents, notes, communications, electronic records, all of that. I mean, they took away boxes of stuff as well as every single electronic device, cell phones, computers, and so forth. You know, this originated 5 years ago when Bolton wrote a tell-all book. And when the government tried to stop him, the judge, a federal judge, admonished Bolton that he was gambling with national security and warned him that he could be criminally prosecuted. Bolton didn't care. He had a $2 million advance. And the judge was prepared to stop the book because the judge felt there was classified information in the book. But his publisher, with Bolton's consent, already distributed the book. You know, look, if you're the national security advisor, you got to follow the rules, which is the government must give you written approval after reviewing the manuscript to determine whether there's any, you know, national security secrets in it. Well, Bolton didn't do that. And frankly, that was foolhardy. And it may not be the book that has gotten him into trouble. It simply started the investigation. And, you know, when you start looking around, start nosing around, you tend to find other things.
Yeah, certainly. We're speaking here with Greg Jarrett. We're talking about John Bolton, not Michael Bolton. I knew I was going to do that on the air. Let's talk about having the possession of classified documents, because we have two other main big cases that we are familiar with in the last few years, one being at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump, and the other being with then President Joe Biden when his home was raided, but the documents that were in possession were prior to his presidency. What's right. The difference between Bolton, Biden, and Trump having these classified documents in their possession?
Well, Bolton and Biden are not under the Presidential Records Act, which provides some protection. That's the exclusive authority on, you know, presidential records, be they classified or not, for former presidents. And the exclusive remedy under that act is civil. It's not criminal. So in other words, in the case of Bill Clinton, same thing. The case against him was never a criminal case. It was a civil case. And indeed, the Department of Justice defended Bill Clinton and said under the act, he can keep anything he wants, including classified documents. And a federal judge agreed. You know, but suddenly when it's Donald Trump, the DOJ takes a different point of view of the Presidential Records Act. But again, the exclusive remedy is civil, not criminal. There's no such protection for, you know, either Bolton or Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden obviously had classified documents, should have been prosecuted, but Robert Hur, the special counsel, said essentially he's too old, too incapacitated, poor memory. We can't prosecute him because of that. So in other words, it's okay for him to be an incompetent president. You just can't be an incompetent defendant in a criminal trial. As for Bolton, again, you know, he has to adhere to the law as everybody else does. You cannot remove and store classified documents from a secure facility.
Yeah, it is quite a different set of circumstances. Even the raid on Mar-a-Lago was really kind of, that's like a, you know, we have memories of stories and everything, but I think people can picture in their mind when that moment happened, that raid on Mar-a-Lago, the images that came out of it. There was an obvious, there has been an obvious get Trump mentality throughout the course of the last 10, 15 years, and you've written extensively about it in your books. I wonder how much Donald Trump has been made out to be a villain from the very beginning. He must have obviously been a threat to the people who had the power that he felt threatened. But at this point in time, over and over and over again, these things where he was, the storylines where he was the villain, we're now finding out he was 100% the victim. And you've written about that as well at thegregjarrett.com. Do you feel like there's more of that to come where we watch him shift from villain to victim?
Yeah, I think so. We only know probably less than half the truth. But I will say, as I wrote in my recent column, the lawfare campaign was so blatant, it was so obvious, that politically it boomeranged against his Democratic opponents, because voters, once they began to see the abuse of the law against him, and the Alvin Bragg case was the perfect example of it, the Letitia James case and so forth. I mean, voters began to see him, you know, not as a villain, but a victim of unscrupulous opponents who were willing to abuse their position of powers and misuse the law to try to prevent him in the 2024 election from gaining re-election. And it had the opposite effect. It helped propel him to a second term last November. And Letitia James campaigned on the unethical promise to get Trump. Literally, she said those two words, get Trump. She had no access to evidence. She wasn't in any office at the time. She had no knowledge of wrongdoing, hadn't seen any files. Once you, as a political candidate for an office in which you wield legal power, target a particular individual and preordain an outcome, that's a disbarrable offense. Not only should she have been forced from office for doing it, but she should be disbarred. Now, you know, for her, a Democrat can't get disbarred in New York because, you know, it's a liberal bar that cheered her on. But nevertheless, that doesn't make it any less unethical.
So when Greg Jarrett's speaking with us right now, when we're watching the Department of Justice root a lot of this stuff out, we continue to hear about files in burn bags that are occurring, that are being discovered. We can uncover what has been done. But is there a way to prevent it from happening in the future?
Well, I think full transparency is often quite useful, and that, I think, is what Kash Patel of the FBI is determined to do. So, I mean, he's gone through every room, every nook and cranny, and found a stunning amount of incriminating evidence of lawfare against Trump, and he's turned it over to Congress. Congress is releasing it. So people can see it for themselves. Seeing is believing. And that will prompt hearings, of course. And there will undoubtedly be criminal referrals to the Department of Justice, and apparently already have been. And, you know, there's word that several grand juries have been convened. I've said before that, you know, I think those most at risk are Comey, Clapper, and Brennan. For lying to Congress, for obstructing justice, for lying to the FISA court in Comey's case. But there are others as well. I mean, certainly the Hillary Clinton campaign and Clinton herself, who appear to have defrauded the government by providing false and phony evidence to precipitate a wrongful investigation of Trump. So, you know, I think she'll get a subpoena to testify. Obama will, because apparently, according to Brennan, Obama was in on it. And so we'll wait and see how this, you know, sort of sorts out. But it'll be fascinating to watch.
Well, we will certainly hope you continue to answer our emails and phone calls to come back and update us, Greg Jarrett, because your insight, and I encourage people, as I said before, to go to thegregjarrett.com because your writings on all these developments as they happen, it's must-read stuff. So we're grateful you share it with us here on our show. Greg, thanks for coming back with us. Look forward
thanks,
to talking
Annie.
To you
soon. Good to be with you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Greg Jarrett, of course, the Fox News legal analyst, former defense attorney and law professor, and author. His books on the Russia collusion stuff, the Russia hoax, all of that. You need to check those out because he's been on this story when it was unpopular, when it was conspiratorial even to be on this story. And it kind of, he's got to feel so vindicated to be like, oh, you're trying to catch up? Here's my book. Mm-hmm. I was there. I was reporting on it. And if you need to get any of the details, you can just check them out at thegregderrett.com.
So many of the people who went ahead and did that were kind of blacklisted, too. And for them to be on the other side of this now going, hey, everybody, I'm glad to see Greg Jarrett's still top of his game and hasn't lost that footing that a lot of people did.
Keep it right here. More Annie Fry Show right around the corner. Any news breaks on the tragic shooting in Minneapolis this morning? We will continue to bring you the details as they are released. Our YouTube poll for you today, should trained armed security be present in all schools, yes or no? We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Tragic news out of Minneapolis this morning. A school shooting, a Catholic school, kindergarten through eighth grade. Children were assembled for mass in the morning. Parents can gather for mass, of course, on Wednesday morning with the school. And the shooter shot into the church while they were at mass. Our poll for today is, should trained armed security be present in all schools? Yes or no? I don't even, like, I know it's my job to fill 3 hours here, but my answer is yes, 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 yes.
I think we're already there. I mean, you already have trained armed security at a lot of schools, maybe not all. So the answer is almost an obvious yes to me, because we've had to, by necessity, get there.
You know what agitates me is when people say, like, oh, it's tragic, but I think it's time, and we understand that the visual is, you know, can be disconcerting to people. And I'm like, why? I don't ever see a police officer out and about doing their job, patrolling, and think a negative thought about that. Now, okay, I can hear the detractors in my head saying, well, Annie, that shows your privilege. That shows your perspective in life. You see a police officer, you don't feel threatened by that. For whatever various reasons, you're presuming that I don't feel threatened by that. I don't view police officers as anything but good public civil servants. And if one of them exposes themselves to be a bad police officer, that is always, to me, the exception to the rule. Every single time, it's the exception to the rule. And I've never met a police officer in my life, and I know plenty of them personally and have been contacted by many of you just over the course of the show. I know a lot of law enforcement listen to 97.1 while they're out on the patrol. You want the bad ones out more than the rest of the civilians who don't understand police work with the intimacy that you would as a law enforcement officer. I think it would do wonders for our culture, for our society, to put police officers, you know, almost, this is not why you do it, so don't hear me say something I'm not saying. But even from a public relations standpoint, putting police officers in the view of children going to and from schools who can be given, you know, fist bumps to kids while they're walking in, talking to kids, getting to know the kids. 100% yes. Mm-hmm. Put those individuals in front of these kids so that these kids can have a different understanding of what a police officer does for a living, that they are out there to protect and serve, because those police officers are inevitably going to show up in some of the worst moments of your life. The police officer doesn't show up to give you good news. Other than maybe we found your dog, which comes after you lost your dog. So you're still in a moment of distress, and maybe they can deliver you that positive information. But if the argument is like the visual of a police officer in that set of circumstances, I don't care. I don't care. And I would honestly say they should be federally funded. If you're an accredited school, you should get a resource officer that is armed, period. And I would base it on enrollment in the school. How many souls do you have sitting in those desks during the school day? Somebody smarter than me can determine for this many souls to be protected. Of the most innocent among us, for this many souls, there should be a weapon. By somebody who is trained, certified, who we entrust with the responsibility to keep our communities safe and secure to begin with. You don't go to Miss Frizzle, the art teacher, and be like, here's your Glock, obviously. I hope there are no Miss Frizzle art teachers. That was
who Carrie.
That was supposed to secretively. She's like, how did she know?
Whoa, hey.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, I messaged the show privately.
That gun should be on the hip of somebody who is trained and entrusted with the community's confidence to keep people safe and secure, just like they do when they're standing on the side of a street at a parade where children are chasing candy and people are out enjoying an evening or an afternoon celebrating a Veterans Day parade or a Halloween parade or whatever it might be. Like, Why would a school be the one place where we're like, keep that target soft? It's the first place you harden. I don't understand any of it.
It's just amazing to me that schools have become a target. You know, why does the mind of a crazy person decide that's where
listen,
I want to shoot?
Stop right there. You're rationalizing this. You're trying to make sense of this. There's no sense to be made of it. This is where, yes, I'm going to go back there. I said that I was done in the first segment, but I was done for the first segment. Now we're in the third segment. And I'm going to remind you, especially in a world where the three of us, at least, are Christian people, if you're a Christian person, you have to start acknowledging the reach, the scope, the prevalence of evil in the world. What happened today is from the depths of hell, evil. That is the only explanation of it. Trey Gowdy, prosecutor, prosecuted some heinous crimes who I've been in the presence of he's done speaking engagements that I've been able to attend, and he talks about some of the heinous natures of the crimes that he's had to prosecute. And he also is a writer, and he's got a book out right now. He was promoting that. He's been promoting for about a week or so. But he said, he's like, I know these circumstances. And he said this like the first time Fox News had the ability to sit down and have a conversation about it on Outnumbered when they weren't reporting. When they're like, okay, what do we think about this? His first comment is, there's nothing you can say to these families. You're going to sit there and you're going to think to yourself, like, what would you say to these families? You will not come up with the words because they do not exist. There is no comfort that can be applied in our words to the pain and suffering that is being experienced right now. It just doesn't. They just don't exist. Our natural human instinct is to look at something like this and to try to find that little gap, that little opening where this makes just some sense. Not that you would justify the act of it, obviously, but that you would look at this kid's life. Okay, we're going to find out he comes from a broken home or something like that. We're going to find out that he has some sort of mental condition that makes him feel like people didn't like him for who he was, and he was bullied, and he was hurt, and he was radicalized. So the reason why, this is why I don't like talking about this, but here we are. The reason why we seek to find these things out is because we want to understand them, and then we think that we are going to prevent the next one from happening, but obviously that's not the case. And the only way to make any sense of all of this is to fully grasp how evil our culture, we embrace the idea of evil, we repel the idea of the opposition of it, and it gets in, and it gets in to shake our society, to shake our community loose from the one thing that can actually defeat that evil. It is a normal, natural, almost necessary exercise to assess this situation and try to make sense of it. Because, Ryan, you got kids in school, you got a wife in school. I know you're thinking the same thoughts that I am today. Brad, your wife is in school. You're thinking the same thoughts that I am today. We're all trying to ask ourselves everywhere. Your grandparent, you're asking yourself this question. You were a teacher one day, you're asking yourself this question. When will this happen to me? And if you rationalize it, you can try to like clear a little bit of the runway to understand why this is why it won't happen to me. All you're doing is self-medicating your own thoughts, but not reality. And that's why I say, until you can acknowledge the full presence of evil in our culture, in our society that has been there since the beginning, until you can embrace the reality that evil exists everywhere we look, you can't understand how to be at peace with that. You need to understand the only thing that will overcome that evil and get to know it. Because that's the only way that you and your brain are ever going to have peace. If that's even a possibility in our broken humanness, that's the only way that's ever going to happen, because you can't explain it. It's inexplainable. It's unfathomable that somebody would do what took place today. You will not be able to make sense of it. The compulsion to try to, I've been doing it all morning. Can't stop. Can't stop thinking about it. I'm messaging people, literally. I can show you the text. I'm messaging people right now saying, can I start an organization that raises funds to put resource officers in parochial schools? I think I could get some financial backing for that. Is that something I can do? That's what I do in times of tragedy. I'm like, what can I do? I need to do something. But really, that's just me making myself busy so I don't have to think about it. Do you do the same thing?
No.
Do you dwell? Do you block it out? What do you do?
I avoid it. I mean, in the nature of the business that we're in, you have to address it. But then beyond here, I'm like, no, I'm not going to address it outside of work. I just avoid it.
Don't need the details. Don't need the headlines. It's not an avoidance that the issue actually exists, but it's a very intentional measuring of how much I'm going to let it
captivate. It's an emotional avoidance. Yeah.
Yes, captivate my thoughts. as we said, we'll continue to cover breaking news on the situation in Minneapolis, but we're not going to dwell. I'm going to pray, though. Pray on the breaks today. You can pray during the segments, too. I'm going to pray during the next one.
If you could maybe hold off till the top of the hour, I'm going to be doing a segment. I would love you for your participation in it.
All right. So, dear Jesus.
Well, maybe we just do a prayer segment. You want to just do that?
Send me the will and the way. Wiggins America on the Annie Fry Show. Next, don't go away.
According to MSN.com, as in, these are the six types of Trump voters.
It's from MSN. Is that an aggregate? Did MSN post it, but it's from, like, the Federalists? It's not from the Federalists.
No, I think this is from them.
This is from them. I don't ever go there, so. Yeah, I don't have any Windows computers I access regularly for news.
I found this to be not an unfair assessment.
Sure. Okay.
So I'm going to give you the types. I'll give you each one, a little bit of blurb about them. You can decide whether you fall into this, and you could fall into multiples. And as you're listening, you know, you can kind of play along too here. The first one would be populists. And they give types of people in these categories too. For this one, they said Steve Bannon, J.D. Vance, and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. What does it give, like, an explanation?
Yep. Largely working class, anti-immigration, anti-illegal immigration. There's the MSN spin right there. Anti-immigration. Anti-interventionist. these voters form the core of the president's political base. MAGA voters tend to support Trump's tariffs, believing they will increase U.S. manufacturing jobs.
I don't know if it's the same thing, but I would say I don't think it's the core. I think it's the distinction.
You think that one pervades others?
I think that's what makes Trump different than the rest of the people who have run in the Republican Party.
I would not argue with that.
It's the what we talked about a little bit earlier, like your big government Republicans who want to bloat government for, you know, air quotes, Republican things. It's like, you're missing the point, bro. Donald Trump was different. I'm not that.
I was going to say, but would you put yourself in this category?
I've been exposed to that and I like it. But I have to hear the other ones. That's not the driving force.
Agreed. Brad, populist?
I wouldn't say that's the driving force for me either.
More so than ever.
More so.
Me too. Next one. Traditional Republicans. They have the faces here being Lindsey Graham, John Thune, and Glenn Youngkin. Traditional wing of the party largely supports free markets and free trade, lower taxes, smaller government, except for the military. And for the most part, these Republicans align with social conservatives on cultural issues, but that's not their primary focus.
I might be that, but rude to just be like, you and Lindsey?
Traditional Republican. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I can't tell a lie right now. I can
okay,
tell.
George Washington.
Our whole relationship is me lying about you and you running with it. So.
Yeah, you're lying right now about not lying.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
The next one would be libertarian/small government Republicans. Here are the three faces of this faction. This would be Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis, and Rand Paul.
I think this is a dumb list.
That's rough.
No.
You don't think DeSantis falls into that category?
In the libertarian?
No.
Small government.
Well, small government, yes, but that's, I don't think these words mean what he thinks they mean. Ron DeSantis, if I were going to describe myself as a Republican, like my spirit Republican would be Ron DeSantis.
No argument here about you.
I feel like the person that wrote that never met an actual libertarian.
Well, Rand Paul is.
He fits into that, but
and Ted
did you
Cruz,
say Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz yeah, is Ted, a small
Ted
government
Cruz is
guy.
A small He's, government,
but that's not libertarian. Libertarians, I don't know. Will Chamberlain had a line about Will Chamberlain's. I think he said, "This is gonna make people mad." He said something like, "All morons aren't libertarians, but all libertarians are morons," or
he
something
did say
like that.
That.
And I was like, "I don't think libertarians are morons, but I think that they feel like the libertarian badge is their cool badge." And I'm like, okay.
It was like soft Republican. It's like, yeah, I'm going to kind of backdoor this
Thomas
thing.
Massey. I'm not in the
He's
Thomas
in
Massey
too.
Camp. I'm not mad at him. I want to be on his team. No, I want him to be on my team. Let me rephrase. Go on.
Yeah. Next category would be social conservatives. The prominent people that they have here would be Lankford, James Lankford of... Oklahoma, and then Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, social conservatives.
When have you ever heard Mike Johnson prioritize social issues as a conservative measure.
I agree. Like, I thought that was a little silly.
I like these different segments of conservatives because I do see myself overlapping with most of them. Like, I'll say for the libertarian thing. I'm willing to support a libertarian argument for something if that's the best that we can get. Mm-hmm. But it's not my advocacy.
Well, the way they put these people in this category is they said last month's legislative package, the Big Beautiful Bill, won major expansion of the child tax credit, private school vouchers, and they also reference the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Imagine trying to categorize, give us an extra minute if you can, Brad. Imagine trying to categorize school choice as a social conservative thing, which is always summed up with like religious bigotry of the far right.
Oh, this article goes in hard on that.
I need to know the author's name.
Let's see.
Fine. I know it's MSN.
Is Natalie Allison.
Oh, two first names. You know what they say about men with two first names.
I do not. Next one, Tech Bros. These are not us. So we can kind of put a whole bunch of people in that category that are definitely not us.
Washington Post. Go on. What'd you say?
Tech Bros is that category. I know that one is not us. But that's a lot of Silicon Valley. A lot of money comes from them. And the last one in this category, or of these six, is former Democrats, which they also defined as people who came in through the Make America Healthy Again movement. Because a lot of people who were not necessarily politically aligned would have come along because that was their primary issue. But you got, of course, RFK here, RFK Jr., and then Tulsi Gabbard. Longtime Democrats who... And here's
which one is this category?
This is former Democrats / Make America Healthy Again voters. But here's the way they define this as people who said that the Democrat Party had gone too woke. Now, that opens that up quite a bit more. And I think there are a lot more people that you could say would be in this category rather than just former Democrats. But that certainly is not us. We've been conservative Republicans for a long time. But I found this article to be very, very interesting because there is some truth to defining that. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of overlap, but I would fall into three or four of those categories.
Here's the hot take, because I'm looking at her on Twitter. There's nothing that she's got on her Twitter that makes me go, she's a kook. I don't think she writes for Politico and Washington Post. So there's a little bit of assumption made there that maybe isn't fair. But I will say, it's good that they're like, let's learn about these people instead of being like, these are the craziest people I've ever met. I think that's a step. Dory Murdoch, Chad Pergram in the next hour. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.